Now, we've got a little problem that we're going to resolve before I preach. The deacons got so busy putting out chairs, they didn't light the candles. And it's not Christmas without the candles lit. So you guys get busy. Would you light those candles? I don't know what happened. This one. New Year's is here. You know, the little children remind you of New Year's. Oh. Would you take care of the lights? Would you dim those lights? No. You turn mine out. You all come back next year. We'll have it together. New Year's is wonderful. You know, the little baby appears and the old man leaves. My wife says, that's just like a man. All right. You know, Christmas is really a miraculous time, and we praise God for the miracle of the birth. Remember the World Series? I'm going to pray that that umpire has a miracle of his sight being restored. Okay, now that's Christmassy. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 8, and some of the story that was read earlier we're going to read again. The familiar story of the angels and the shepherds. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule of faith and practice. We can go to the Word and know beyond any doubt what God wants us to believe and how He wants us to live our lives. Listen, hear what God says to you in this portion of Holy Scripture. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now I'm going to, in our meditation tonight, give you four things to think about. Each of them will begin with the letter W, so if you want to make some notes in your scripture, in your bulletin, why, you can do that. And the first W revolves around verse 9, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And here's the second one. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And here's the third one. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And here's the fourth one. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Our meditation is entitled, No Santa for the Shepherds. Our text, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, during this season, as we remember the incredible gift you gave us, help us to give you the only thing we have, our hearts and our lives. Speak to us now, and as we think together about the shepherds, give us some insights about how we might live our lives for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What's under the Christmas tree for you? My wife said this year we ought to give practical things, like ties and fur coats. Now, either you have already gotten or you expect to get a Christmas gift of one sort or another. But let me ask you a question about your present. Where will it be, or what will it look like, or will it even be around next Christmas, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now? Let me put the question another way. When you're dead and gone, when the only thing left to mark your passing this way is a marble tombstone with your name carved in it, will it even matter what you get for Christmas this year? On the other hand, what are you giving for Christmas this year? Maybe you have thought a great deal about what you would buy for your loved ones. And maybe you spent a lot of time shopping for your gifts. And maybe you spent a lot of money on those presents. But will what you give be significant 10, 20 years from now? When Santa has come and gone, will it have mattered very much? Well, the shepherds we read about tonight had no Santa, but what they got and what they gave is still remembered, still celebrated, still talked about, and it will last for all eternity. How would you like to get or to give a present like that? You know, we talk today about things that are programmed for obsolescence. But the shepherds dealt with things that were programmed for eternity. Let me point out a couple of things about the shepherds. First of all, they were pretty ordinary people. You know, God's got a habit of dealing with very ordinary people. Had you seen them out in the fields tending their flocks, you wouldn't have given them a second thought. And had you passed them on the streets of Bethlehem, you would not have given them a second glance. In that sense, they're very much like us, ordinary people. They were simple, common folk, doing their jobs, trying to get by. And most of us fit that category. I can identify with that, can't you? People don't turn around to look when I pass them on the street. Is that your experience? Yes, ordinary people. And do you know that's true of most of the people in the Bible? They were just ordinary people until touched by God. And then they became extraordinary people. The second thing we notice about the shepherds is this: not many really big things had ever happened in their lives. And I can identify with that. How many really big, significant, world-shaking things have ever happened in your life? If you had to make a list of the things that had happened in your life that might go down in history, even as just a little footnote, how many things could you list? So the shepherds were a lot like us, just ordinary people to whom little of great significance had ever happened. And yet, when God breaks into ordinary lives, extraordinary things can happen. Let me share with you on this Christmas Eve what the shepherds got for Christmas. What they got that mattered for eternity when God invaded and broke into their lives. The first thing that the shepherds got was wonder. When the angels appeared, the Bible says of the shepherds, they were filled with fear. Now, the word fear is a very special Bible word, an extraordinary word. While it contains some of the elements of being scared, in the Bible, the word fear means primarily to be filled with awe, to have a sense of wonder, a profound sense of reverence. For example, for the Jews, the presence of God brought incredible wonder, great awe, great reverence. For example, in the Old Testament, when the high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary, on Yom Kippur, he would take the blood of the sacrificial lamb to sprinkle on the holy seat. And that was such an awesome experience, such a wonder-filled moment, that they were afraid the old high priest might die. So they did a couple of things. One, they sewed some little bells around the hem of his garment. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, to the Wailing Wall, you will see the Jews praying there. And as they pray, they will be bowing back and forth. And that's a tradition going back to the high priest, because as he was in the Holy of Holies, he would do that in order to make the little bells ring so they would know it was all right. And they tied a rope to his ankle so if he did die, they could pull him out. It was too awesome to go in there without being authorized. Then, and another thing the Hebrews did is they wouldn't even pronounce the name of God. They invented other names to describe God, El Shaddai and Adonai and Elohim and words like that. But God's name was so holy, so awesome, they would not even pronounce it. As a matter of fact, most of us grew up reading the King James Version and we learned that the name of God, his number one name was Jehovah, right? Well, wrong. Actually, there is no Hebrew word Jehovah. In the Middle Ages, a biblical scholar took some of the vowels of one name for God and put them with his number one name. And when you do that, you get the word Jehovah. But there's no such word. We really don't know what God's name was to the ancient Hebrews. We think it was probably Yahweh. But the point is, there was such awe, such reverence, such wonder about God, they didn't even pronounce his name. Isn't that a far cry from us today? We use God's name for one of our most popular swear words. You hear it in the movies even. And in the movie, Oh God, George Burns portrays God as a bumbling old man who isn't really sure what he's doing. What a travesty on the awesomeness of the Creator of the universe. That's an incredible difference from the shepherds who stood in fear and wonder and awe before God. And if there's anything we need today, it is that same sense of awe, that sense of incredible wonder before the Creator of the universe. You see, life really won't work very well when God is taken lightly, irreverently, when his name becomes a swear word, when we have no sense of awe, no wonder. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The second thing that happened to the shepherds is that they acted on God's intervention into their lives. They acted on that. They responded. The shepherd said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. And then the Bible adds this, they went. They went. Have you ever had an experience with God? Now, I suspect there's hardly a person here tonight who has not at some time had an experience of God. An encounter with the divine. A time in your life when you became intensely aware of God. a time when you were acutely aware of His presence. Remember when you had such a time? Well, let me ask you this. Have you responded to it since? When God broke into your life, intervened in your life, made you aware of Him, did you act on it? Have you continued to act on it? Now, the shepherds could have stood around all night debating what happened. They could have discussed, I suppose, its theological implications. They could have done nothing. But they didn't do that. They acted. They responded decisively. The Bible says they went. How many times must the angels come before we respond? How many experiences must you have and must I have? How many interventions in our lives must God make before we act? Had you thought of that? Now, as far as we know, this is the only time the shepherds ever saw the angels. But the Bible says that's all they needed. They acted, they responded, they went. Have you done that? So, first the shepherds wondered. Second, they went. The third thing that happened was this. They witnessed. Do you remember how the Bible puts it? We read, "And they, when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child." Now, you know, the shepherds lived in a world that needed a Savior. They lived in a world that was desperately in need of redemption. There was a deep need for healing between man and man, between nation and nation, and between mankind and God. Now God had acted. He had burst into history. The Word was made flesh. In dramatic fashion, God had intervened in history to forgive and to heal and to restore. And they witnessed. They witnessed. They shared what God had done. Is our world much different from theirs today? Don't we still live in a world that desperately needs a Savior? Think for a moment about the people to whom you are giving presents this year. Will those presents matter 10, 20 years from now? But is there some gift you can give your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, that might last for years, that will last across the centuries, that will endure into eternity? Well, as a matter of fact, there is such a gift. You can share with others how much God loves them and that He's given them a Savior. Do you have loved ones, friends, neighbors for whom life is not going well? Maybe it's a marriage strained to the breaking point. Maybe there's a breakdown between parents and children. Maybe there's the loss of a loved one or some other desperate need in the life of someone you know and love. What can you give them that will really make a difference? Could the greatest gift of all be to share with them what God has done at Christmas? Well, that's what the shepherds did. They witnessed. And I hope either tonight or tomorrow, whenever you open your presence, that before or after you'll share together and think together about what Christmas is really all about and witness to one another of the love of God. So the shepherds wondered, they went and they witnessed. Then notice in the fourth place, they worshiped. The Bible says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen." You know, it would be interesting to know some more about the shepherds, wouldn't it? What was their relationship to God before Christmas? What happened to them afterwards? Did they know about Jesus after He grew up? Did they realize when Jesus became famous and His name was a household word, when all of Jerusalem was abuzz about Him and when there was the crucifixion, did they know that that was the little baby they had visited that night? Did any of them become followers of Jesus? Were any of them members of the early church? Well, we don't know the answer to any of those questions. The only thing we know for sure is they became worshipers. They came away from that experience, as the Bible says, glorifying and praising God. Are you a person who does that? Are you glorifying and praising God in your life? You know, I know a lot of us come to church rarely, maybe at Easter, maybe at Christmas. We come to be baptized, to be married, and to be buried. As somebody says, we come to be hatched, matched, and dispatched. That's not much of a spiritual life, is it? Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't mean more to us, or why spiritual things are not more important. Well, the reason is we're not glorifying and praising God and opening our lives to be blessed by Him. Is there anything under your tree with your name on it that will last for all eternity? The shepherds had God intervene in their lives, and the Bible says they wondered, they went, they witnessed, and they worshiped. Do you know where the shepherds are tonight? I suspect they're in heaven. I suspect they're still filled with awe and reverence, still worshiping the Jesus who was that little baby that long ago night. They had no Santa, but they got a special gift that night. They got eternal life. Let me ask you, do you have the gift the shepherds had? Can you give the gift the shepherds gave? After all, isn't that what Christmas is really all about? Let us pray.